Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Used to be taboo to talk about gambling on the air. Remember that?
Yes, yes. You're supposed to say, just, you know, for fun.
Al Michaels would subtly say something like, well, nobody's interested in this extra point except me and those of you that have the over. Yeah.
The people in the desert may care at this point.
Musburger, you know, was sending it in. Musburger was sending it in all over the place, right? I mean, how happy was he that Jimmy was running up the score on poor Jerry Faust at Notre Dame? Parsegian is screaming. Come on, Brett, say something about this. This is a disgrace. It's disgusting. He's throwing bombs with 3 minutes to go, up 30 points.
He popped champagne.
Brent's like, well, there it is. Wow, nice looking pass there. Did you see the trajectory on that one? Azar is throwing up, spitting up pea soup in the booth. By the way, Bob Baffert, we mentioned this, and I didn't realize this, but Jersey Kyle turned me onto it. He was watching Baffert exit that restaurant that we were at the last night that we were in Encinitas, and Jill, his wife, went to her purse to grab some cash to tip the valet Parker, and a syringe fell out. Unbelievable. And it surprised nobody. I don't know if you ever experienced this. It's a place in Coconut Grove. And, you know, I mean, they had the spiffy part of Coconut Grove. And then as if there was no barrier there whatsoever, all of a sudden you're in a whole different world. And at that time, you know, I don't want to say it was almost third world, but it was pretty close. Like, if it wasn't third world, it was like two and a hook.
Two and a hook.
The great Gene Dekaroff joins us here on the program. All right, let's start with the Buccaneers and their chances of repeating. Yeah. A lot of people think that they're pretty good. They're staggering along there, though, at very modest 7-5 at one point. And then it was Willie Moscone time. They run the table the rest of the way. What would you point to what accounted for the turnaround there after things kind of were a little dicey all the way around the Buccaneer organization with that somewhat so-so start?
Defoe, I'm jotting down right now Willie Moscone time. I have never heard that in my life. I love it. I run the table. Man, I've been doing this for a long, long time, and I've never heard Willie Moscone time. Oh, I
was going to go Miserac, but Moscone has a certain ring to it. The man always wore a tuxedo, so he was a very dignified individual.
The time!
Wake up with Defoe, joined by Luby. Welcome to The Defoe Show.
You have to love a sport where you can compete in a tuxedo. I guess weddings would come under that category, huh? You have to be somewhat athletic to make your exit there. You never were tempted to run during that schwitzing ceremony that you had there in Homestead? Mike Luby Lubitz, the second time around. How are you, Luby? You all right on this fine Thursday?
I'm wonderful. What's going on?
Everything's good. I know a little bit more back to normalcy here today after a big day yesterday, as we have the Destination Sport Miami presentation of the ALT Defoe Show, brought to you by Altitude International. It's a pleasure to be here on this Thursday morning. A short week, but a very fulfilling one. That was kind of interesting yesterday, Luby. And we didn't get a chance to get Glenn Rice on the air. And I believe our station, we kind of took a hit on our remote there. At the worst of times, right, Luby, while Randy Moss was speaking with us, and Randy Moss was great. Well, what a polished professional broadcaster Randy Moss has become. You would have never thought that, would you? Of all the guys getting into broadcasting, Randy Moss was perceived as somewhat distant, a bit of a goofball, huh? Remember when he had that cop as a hood ornament on his car at a parade when he was with the Vikings?
We did a thing where
you couldn't have pictured that being the same Randy Moss that we met yesterday, could you?
No way. He did a thing where he, you know, pretended to go to the bathroom on the field, and that became a big deal. He did the thing where he ran off the field early. Like, there was a whole litany of things that Randy Moss did when he was with the Vikings that was very different than the later Randy Moss, and light years different than the Randy Moss we sat down with yesterday.
Did he not strike you as a polished professional broadcaster?
He was great.
I mean, whatever he had picked up there at ESPN, he certainly was great with us on the radio. Unfortunately, some of that interview, I think, got wiped out by Wi-Fi crap out. No, I was hotspot crap out, I guess you would call it, technically.
Yes.
And, you know, it was interesting because, Luby, you were waving me off. Now, there was a glare there where we were broadcasting from.
Yes.
That prevented me from actually noticing that we were no longer on
the air. I just figured if we caught it early enough, we could have kept going. But the problem is once you get past a certain point, you just keep rolling along. And
we're about three questions in. Now, I didn't want to look like a buffoon there because,
yes.
You know, it was Randy Moss and we'd been touting this. And I wasn't sure. Your hand signals are not exactly... did you go to the Rene Latchman School of Signals? Because it looked like you were waving me in, and the truth was you were telling me that we were finished.
I was like, do stuff he's never seen from you. So I was doing the choke sign. I was doing pointing to the machine, choke sign. I'm like, I've never done that before. He has to know that that's a new one. Like, whatever I've done, I've never, I try to stay anywhere near, away from the machine. So I'm like, if I point to the machine enough.
Yeah, not to look like a fool, you know, in front of Randy Moss at that point. So I just finished the interview. And surprisingly, and this happened after the show, I almost fell over backwards. This was like the time that Jason Jenkins came to me about the defensive coordinator of the Dolphins wanted to speak with me. And I thought I was going to get chewed out, you know, that I probably said something asinine in jest about the Dolphins defense. And it turned out it was Kevin Coyle, right?
Yes.
Was the defensive coordinator.
El Finito.
And it turned out that they loved the show. The entire Dolphin defensive coaching staff was listening every day to the program. Now, maybe they should have been drawing up better X's and O's because the team wasn't very good. And they more or less fell apart. I mean, that led to his doom. We Rachel Nichols'd.
Yes.
Is that a decent term? Rachel Nichols'd?
Yeah, because he was highly touted up until then. It was like very close to that moment.
Yeah. We were calling him El Finito, as in any offense that went up against that Dolphin defense was finished. And sure enough, it was El Finito for Kevin Coyle after he pronounced very boldly that the entire coaching staff was into the show. And then they did the impression of the show.
Yep.
I thought that was great. Great moment in radio. But this bowled me over a little bit when Randy Moss came back to us after the show and said, you guys are going to be affiliated with Destination Sport Miami? And we said, yeah, I think we signed like a 14-year contract with these guys. How long was that contract for, Ruby? Did
7 years, legitimately 7 years. It's like, I don't think anyone gets 7 years to do anything, but we have 7 years, so we're partners and we're highly involved with it. We plan on being highly involved with it.
7 year deal there with Destination Sport Miami. That's good. And Moss then said, well, you know what? I want to be affiliated with these guys long term also, so why don't we start doing a weekly segment on the show?
Yes. This is what he said.
He meant on this show, right? I mean, he's not waiting for the projected 2-year completion of the facility, is he?
No. He wants to do stuff. He used choice language, but he said, "I want to mess with you guys. I had a really good time. You know, if you guys are actually really involved, because that's the thing. Remember, he has his own contract stuff with the ESPN, so he really doesn't do a lot of media because he goes up there and does the pregame show. But this is something that's going to be his heart and soul. Like he's talked about being there every day because he's going to head up the football operations. So if this is in line with that, then he's free. ESPN knows that he's free to be involved with us. So if we're involved with the project, then he can do whatever he wants. And he liked what he did with us, so he wants to be
involved with us. Well, this is great. I mean, I was on a different wavelength all the way home. I didn't need to turn on the radio or listen to music, nothing. I was just absolutely singing into the wind there because I'm thinking we couldn't even afford the $25 that Ian Rappaport wanted to pay a guy to come on every week who has some, you know, claim to football expertise. So here's Randy Moss volunteering to do our show, a local radio show of, you know, in a town where there's like 9 other sports radio stations, and Moss wants to be on our show every week. If we make that happen, Luby, if that actually comes to fruition, That would be a major score for not only us, but for this radio market, would it not? Because Moss was very, very interesting in what he had to say. Good commentator. We hit him up with the thing, I don't know if that got on the air, about, I guess that might have been one of my early questions. How is it to carry all those stiffs on
that
the pregame
on
show on ESPN?
That for sure. The beginning of the interview for sure got on air. That definitely got on air.
Rex Ryan. Now, we were only kidding, of course. I actually like Rex Ryan as a commentator. Teddy Bruschi. I mean, he looks like, who was the guy that was in the Superman television show? The actor? He's been in a bunch of stuff. dead ringer for this guy, Teddy Bruschi. You can put him up, and I'm blanking on a name right now. I should know it, but it'll come to me. I can picture the guy. Looks who played in with Lois and Superman or whatever, Clark and Lois.
Oh, Dean Cain. You and Dean Cain.
Dean Cain, yeah. Very good. Dean Cain. Does Dean Cain not play Teddy Bruschi in the Teddy Bruschi story?
100%, yes, yes.
Yes. Now, well, Bruschi, is he saying anything, or is he just giving us a lot of cliches, but, you know, he's Teddy Bruschi, so we don't care?
Bruschi says nothing. Like, that's what...
Nothing.
Rex Ryan actually does say stuff. It's just we like
yeah,
making
Rex
fun
is great.
Of Rex Ryan.
No, he'll come out and say, no, you know what, if I was coaching his team, they'd be 9-3 right now instead of 7-5. Right? He's not afraid to say something. Mike Tannenbaum, it's hard to listen to anything Mike Tannenbaum says and not think that you're at a funeral, right? Especially when he's giving advice about how to run a franchise. Hey, Mike, you ever look back on your resume? Now, brilliant job as a sports agent. Getting David Blatt the job with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Are you kidding me? When they had LeBron James and J.R. Smith. But, no, they had LeBron James. They had a pretty good team, right? And you got David Blatt, a guy that came out of nowhere. You talk about a guy coming out of the scrap heap and getting a job. This was... David Blatt getting that job, was that as weird as Jerry Faust getting the Notre Dame job when he got that gig? And you realize that all of those 400-pound linemen that were solid muscle that came from Cincinnati Moeller came with a price? Imagine when they finally had to say, okay, Jerry, you're the coach of Notre Dame. Thanks for sending us all of those kids. Unbelievable. That was a factory for Notre Dame, wasn't it? Every school should have its own personal high school factory, including the University of Miami. You know, I always say this on the ALT Defo Show, now presented by Destination Sport Miami. I love the smell of point spreads in the morning, and I love some of these. I'm looking at the college slate here, Luby. Have you taken a look at that? Does Florida State not play this week?
We play Jacksonville State. So when it's a school like that, they're weird about like the point spread. You'll find it somewhere, but it's not. It doesn't always jump off the page. Like Jacksonville State at home, which I think is a team that Dion coaches, so that's still sort of cool.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be great
if
that happens.
Maybe
right? They wanted to get Dion on the schedule before he had a chance to get anybody on his team. Smart move there by Florida State. Florida 28 over Florida Southern. We caught a break there because that's a 1 o'clock start, which means their pregame show gets underway on our radio stations at 10 o'clock, which means we get the full-blown Hialeah Park Trivia Challenge in this week. I'm not a big fan of the Gator preemptions of that show. I don't know how you feel about it, Louie. You don't care because you're off on Saturday. You're out cold.
I don't know what you're doing, but it's never the dream. You want to do your whole thing. You got to get your two games in. I get it, but the Gators have a three-hour pregame, so you have to sort of work it out.
I think the Canes might have a four-hour. They might even have their pregame begin at dawn for games. I used to do a three-hour Canes pregame show. That's how I got started. I've told this story many times at WIOD. The great Joe Zaganki called me, and he had the burden of the expansion of the pregame show, which is really done for a purpose. You know, the station usually doesn't have any content inside the game itself in terms of advertising. I mean, they have some, but you're hearing the teams, especially the way these deals are structured now, right? I don't know. Don't the Dolphins just, like, own their own time on those broadcasts? So the only way to make any money, really, was to have the pregame show be as long as you could possibly stand it. And the pregame shows on the Dolphin games went from originally 2 hours to 3 hours, and then while I was at WIOD during those many years, well, it wasn't that many, but while I was there, it expanded to 4 hours, and that stuck wherever the Dolphin broadcast went. Remember? Four-hour pregame shows, Louie. Can you imagine? So you're actually talking about the game in advance of the game, trying to predict what's going to happen and give people insight into a game that's going to last less time than your show. The game itself, right? It's the game within a game, trying to get as many spots in as you can before the game actually gets underway. But, yeah, I mean, a lot of that time spent doing four-hour pregame shows. The Gators is 3 hours, so we catch a break there. Gators favored by 28 over Florida Southern. A very generous allotment. Here's my marquee game of the week. Rutgers laying 2.5 over Syracuse. What do you think, Luby? Can the Cuse? The Cuse got a win in their first game. I think they beat Ohio. I should know that, but I'm not really as into
it. I don't remember who, but yes, they got a win. They were like the banner franchise for the ACC. They played.
This wasn't Ohio State.
The schminkiest team. They got a win.
29-9. And Rutgers put up 61 on, like, Temple. So Rutgers laying 2.5 at Syracuse, I believe. What do you think? Are you going to go ahead and lay the 2.5 with the Scarlet Knights and Greg Schiano?
Yeah, I'd say Rutgers.
Don't make me look like a fool is what the quote was from the handicapper Rutgers. In the paper, Greg. Don't make me look like a fool by picking Rutgers, which is easy to do. Our local team's in action, too. Butch Davis dealing with a one-point spread. He's laying one against Texas State. Butch Davis, I don't know that he's personally laying one. I don't think Butch is wagering on these games.
He's going to be playing. No, he probably isn't getting involved gambling-wise. No.
He mentioned he was ready to bet a couple of bucks at the track there. You think his 2 is like our, you know, I mean, his 200 would be like our 2, right? That's the way it would have to be. He's been a coach in a long time. FAU, 7-point favorites over Georgia Southern. And the Canes laying 8 against Appalachian State. What do you think about that, Louie? Appalachian State. It still makes me cringe a little bit, and it's reality. I'm not saying that John Kajemi is wrong. But that we should be wrapping our thoughts about the Hurricane football team in the category that, yeah, that should be a competitive game against Appalachian State. And forget about beating Alabama and the heavyweights of college football. That ship has sailed. Billy Tine time, huh? Flemish cap. That's where we're headed. We're going to catch some swords. What do you think? Canes, Appalachian State, and we're in that same category? Canes now ranked 22nd and 24th. Yeah. That's a very generous ranking, is it not?
It's Alabama. They're giving them the fact that it still was Alabama, and Alabama is the preeminent program in all of college football.
Gators destroy a cupcake. Oh, no, they played FAU. Could you call FAU a cupcake by Gator SEC standards?
Yes, it is. I
have to say, FAU, yeah, you're at least in the donut shop. Yeah, right, dandy donut time. They're 13th and 9th in the two polls, the writers and the coaches poll. They still do all of that? Writers and coaches poll? Is that necessary? They should just have all of the numbers thrown into a computer, no?
They do by the middle of the year. Then they do that CFP, you know, like in October, November. They have the CFP rankings. But until then, it's AP and coaches still.
Dolphins in action Sunday. I put a ring around a few games here on the NFL slate, Libby. Do you think these are the best games on the ticket? Now, naturally, tonight, the 2021 season gets underway with the Cowboys and the Buccaneers. Pretty good ball game, no? Cowboys trying to go out and load up on defense. Every time, I watched a little Hard Knocks last night. I'm not sure if it was the final episode or a repeat of one that I missed. What does Stephen Jones do? Luby, can you tell? Am I completely wrong about this? Is he really the nuts and bolts behind a Cowboy organization that is destined for great success? Now that Dak Prescott might be back to play the whole season?
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
But does that not seem like, you know, well, obviously it's blatant nepotism that he has the job as the CEO of the Dallas Cowboys, vice president, and in charge of player personnel also? Stephen Jones. Has he done anything that makes you think, wow, this guy really knows what he's
doing? They drafted Dak Prescott and told themselves that Dak Prescott's really good. So, I mean, that's nice. He's never done anything, and I don't understand the strong belief in Dak Prescott. But they drafted a guy in, like, the third round, and he's turned out to be their starting quarterback. So Stephen Jones, for some reason, gets credit for that.
Dak Prescott looks the part of a starting quarterback in the NFL. He really does. Just the way he comports himself. On the Hard Knocks, he came off very, very strongly, I thought. Dak Prescott, you would have confidence in this kid. See if he can do it against the Buccaneers, who bring back all of their starters, offense and defense. Very rare for a Super Bowl championship team to be able to hold everything together during the offseason. How about Pittsburgh at Buffalo, Luby? What do you think there? Everybody has Buffalo going to the Super Bowl. The Pittsburgh Steelers, now Kajemi threw in Pittsburgh as a team that he's interested in watching this year, and I think that was just because of the Pittsburgh connection. What do you think?
I want to see Najee Harris, and I want to see how long Ben is their starting quarterback, because if anyone looked like a shot fighter last year, Drew Brees looked like he was in his prime compared to Ben by the end of last year, to be honest. As bad as Brees seemed like he was ready to retire, and I'm glad he did. Ben needed to retire faster.
Yeah. As soon as we said he was going to win the MVP and took it at like 25 to 1.
Horrible.
Sorry, Duke. Sorry, Duke. I didn't mean to bring that up. That's a sore point with us. He was horrendous. He absolutely looked like a shot fighter, a completely shot fighter, like from one fight to the next. That happens in the heavyweight division. We're assuming, I think, as fans, that Kansas City's going to win all of their games, but Cleveland and Kansas City to open things up.
That's nice.
As the great Al Bernstein would say, a very intriguing matchup, is it not?
I think the Browns are a team people are sleeping on heavily because they're the Browns, but they switched it up. They're not highly relying on Mayfield. They have two legit backs. Chubb has finally become a guy that was a stud at Georgia before injuries hurt him. Like, they get OBJ back, and he's been totally forgotten, so maybe he's been humbled. Like, that defense is for real. The Browns are really going to be good, and people are sort of just sleeping on them. Everyone wants to get on the Patriots for some weird reason. The Browns are going to be way better than the Patriots.
Yeah, once they dump that guy Kitchens after 1 year, it looked like a bouncer at Flossie's. You bikers going to park those Harleys over there? Cleveland at Kansas City, a good one. Green Bay at New Orleans, also interesting.
Nice.
Jameis making his start against the Packers. And then, of course, Miami, New England. With New England, was favored by 3 the last time I checked. And yet, I'm wondering, does Miami not have the goods? Should they not beat the New England Patriots in this game on the road?
Being on the road sucks, but it's on the road at this time of year, which suits the Dolphins a lot better than if it was like in December. I think the Dolphins should be the better team, no matter what the national media says.
We shall see. All right, a lot of interesting stuff happening coming up over the weekend. U.S. Open, it's all about the kids, huh, on the women's side. Emma Raducanu, the Great Britain girl who's like 18 years old. She's brilliant. Straight sets win yesterday. And now moves on to face Maria Sakkari, I believe is how you pronounce it, although I've heard it pronounced many different ways. Sakkari, the Greek girl, she's fantastic. What an athletic-looking specimen she is. And she's been playing great, brilliantly. So that's a great matchup. And then my girl Sabalenka, who I have at 6-1, goes against Leyla Fernandez, the other sensation in the women's semifinals. The women have been knocking the literal snot out of the ball. Women's tennis, I'm not sure which has progressed more, women's college basketball or women's tennis. I'm going to go with tennis. Because if you go back and look at the old highlights of, like, Billie Jean King, even in that match against Bobby Riggs when she was playing a guy for money, slow pace, Libby. I mean, you can't even imagine that.
Yes.
You know, they talk about could the stars of yesterday compete today? Probably yes. I mean, they had the inherent ability, but my God, the game is entirely different to watch. It really is something else. These girls are nailing shot after shot. It's incredible. And the Joker, who mowed down my man Matteo Berrettini, the Italian stud, now has to go against Zverev, who is also on a good roll. So still some great action. And then Daniil Medvedev faces his kid. You talk about an athletic-looking guy, Felix Auger-Aliassime. This kid's been playing great. So that's no cinch for Medvedev, who shown at different times slight vulnerability in the tournament. All right, we're coming back with more. A lot of good action coming up, though, over the weekend. And, of course, horse racing today at Gulfstream Park. They've expanded the spring-summer meet. And they now race Thursday through Sunday. We'll be out there tomorrow with the Deal Volkswagen Degenerate Friday show. Looking forward to that. So that'll be a lot of fun. Jill Ellis, our instant replay. We talked with the former coach of the U.S. national women's soccer team. She was an extremely nice and affable person who had a lot to say. Jill Ellis will be our instant replay. Brandon Lang scheduled to join us, although you never know with Brandon. 7:45, what part of the world is he in? Luby, did you find out?
I'm hoping he's in Florida somewhere because that's really early out west.
Yeah, that's always very
risky business. I didn't schedule
it.
That's the time that they give me, so I'm hoping it was by choice.
It doesn't matter if Brandon gives you the time. You know, there's a pretty good chance that he doesn't remember from his evening out. Tony Segreto goes all school with us. That's always great. And Josh Booty on college football. He's become a go-to guy for us here on the show. Josh Booty, Believe Podcast Network, and, of course, former Marlins first-round pick. Played for the Marlins in 97 on that World Series team and was a quarterback at LSU. Really knows his college football, so he's going to join us later on as well. Back with more in a moment. I'm Jeff DeForest. He's Mike Luby-Lubitz, Destination Sport Miami, presenting the ALT Defo Show, brought to you by Altitude International. Returns in a moment on 940 Winds, 1230 The Zone, around the world on the iHeartRadio app. Back in a moment. Now that.
The time.
It's a big agenda there we just went through, Luby. It's 627. All right, welcome back to the show. Good to have you guys with us here on 940 Winds, 1230 The Zone, and around the world on the iHeartRadio app. We welcome to the program, and of course, we're celebrating the launch of Destination Sport Miami, a very ambitious project that involves all sports and all at major levels with a massive indoor facility. And this young lady perhaps as equipped as anybody to lead the soccer contingent that'll be on hand here. We welcome to the show Jill Ellis, who, of course, was the coach for many years of the U.S. national team. Although, Jill, we were giving you credit for Brandi Chastain and Mia Hamm. But good to have you on the program. I'm sure you don't mind being associated with those guys.
Yeah, of course. No, I'm delighted to be here. And, yeah, it was a little bit before my time, but they certainly paved the way for the players that came after there.
And it's unusual. I mean, you have a women's sport that actually captured the imagination of the American public before the men ever caught on. The men were looking at going, hey, when are they going to be any good? And the women were winning World Cups, and now it just became a succession of those.
I mean, absolutely. I mean, there was just a tradition of winning. They won the very first World Cup, which obviously helps because then you're kind of launching, you know, a pathway for people to come after you. So, yeah, I mean, the early success and those early players and coaches, you know, we like to say we stood on their shoulders, but we've just had unprecedented success with this team over the decades.
We're somewhat soccer ignorant, I would say. what kind of decisions are coaches making? Because there always seems to be, especially when you watch the men's European game, the guy's in the suit, and he's always under an immense amount of stress.
Yeah.
Like if they lose that game 1-0, that, you know, he may have to worry about moving his family out of the country.
But, yeah, I mean, there's a short runway for coaches, certainly, over in Europe. I mean, it's kind of revolving doors. But, you know, I think I would say characterize it this way is like, you know, in soccer, you have to do so much of your preparation in training. But during the game, a coach actually has very little influence, right? Like you can, because they're not going to hear you when there's 75,000 people in the stands. You don't have a timeout. So it's really about the halftime adjustments and the in-game adjustments in terms of, you know, you might change your system. You might make a couple of subs. But it's not like football where you're calling every play. So it's probably the stress is from not having that much control, probably.
The women, for the most part, I would say, you know, almost 100% across the board, though, seem to exhibit tremendous character. And especially, you know, going back to the team that we were talking about that, you know, well, first brought the sport into prominence here in the USA. I mean, it was great. You know, you see little girls coming out and they're wearing the uniforms and waving flags and,
I think
they did a great job of integrating themselves into the soccer community.
Absolutely. I think, you know, the women associated with the program have always kind of seen it as a platform to do more, you know, just inspire the next generation. And, you know, I knew our sport had officially arrived. You know, always kind of a thrill for me coming into a stadium as you come in, you see the fans and the kids, is to see actually even boys wearing Alex Morgan jerseys. You know, then it's like you've crossed over, you've become very more mainstream. And I think that's for our sport. That was really important for us to take that next step. And with that comes, you know, more media exposure, more investments, and the sport has just taken off. You know, now we have 10 currently women's professional teams, and I'm going to be running one out in San Diego. So there'll be two more joining next year.
Get yourself a spot in Encinitas. We were just out there.
I just had dinner there the other night. It's beautiful.
Unbelievable, yeah. And real health conscious out there.
Oh, yeah.
That
great
part of the world. It's fantastic. Yep. All right. Who are some of the people that you coach that you will always have fond memories of? You know, not that you're out of the game. Obviously, still very much involved. But, you know, people that you coach with the U.S. national team that really stuck out.
You know, I had the good fortune of bringing in some younger players. So I worked with, you know, great players like Carly Lloyd, one of the most iconic players to play. And she was tremendous. But some of the younger players, you know, the players that are now making a difference, Rose Lavelle, Lindsay Horan, Sammy Mewis, these players, to see them sort of take the mantle on and want to grow the sport and extend the sport, I think is... You know, those players are special, but it's kind of like your kids, right? You can't pick one as your favorite, right? So, I mean, I've just, you know, I've enjoyed all of them. And, you know, listen, a coach at times, you have to have hard conversations, whether you're, you know, sitting a player and cutting a player and or they don't make a roster. But I just think, you know, when I've always tried to approach it as being very truthful with these players, and I think they respect that. And sometimes the message is hard to hear as a coach that you're delivering. But at the end of the day, you know, it's always putting the team first.
I'm talking about Jill Ellis. She is legendary U.S. Women's National Team head coach. Won back-to-back World Cups. Coached Abby Wambach and Morgan and Hope Solo and Carly Lloyd. That group that took women's soccer Because that's the thing, Brandi Chastain, I remember me and him really, you know, put it on the radar, right? That was a moment. I remember that moment. But your group winning the back-to-back World Cups was really made it mainstream. It wasn't just, oh, wow, there's a soccer game on. I remember going to bars. I remember going to restaurants. I remember you watched every match in those World Cups. How was it to be in America and see the transformation in front of your eyes?
I mean, it was fantastic. I mean, listen, I was in 99. I mean, that was a showcase piece. And you're absolutely right. This was the spark.
Yes.
And we put gasoline on it, right?
Yes.
So we, you know, tremendous credit to the players that sort of started it. But, you know, yeah, listen, I think with the, you know, you guys get it, right? With the onset of social media, with just the growth of exposure athletes and our sport can have, they really have become household names. And that's kind of when you start to see players in, you know, mainstream commercials, Gatorade, all these types of things, that you realize that, you know, just the sport has become a part of the fabric of society. So it's tremendous. I mean, you know, you take great pride in it because, listen, sport for me, and has probably been around it for long enough, it's been an amazing gift, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's helped me not just with my career, me, people, families, but it's just been something that's, it's always been something joyful. You know, even the tough losses, I always say, you know, the ups and downs of it are what makes the journey so special. So I think to see sport and to see people have opportunity is really what makes this special.
Even though we admittedly knew relatively nothing from a technical standpoint, time, we still are inclined to criticize the game by watching,
course,
like some World Cup, uh-huh, and then you see a big championship decided by penalty kicks.
Yeah. Yep.
Which, is there a better way, Jill Ellis, coach of two World Cup championship women's soccer teams in the United States of America, to decide a huge matchup after, you know, hours of overtime? I understand the guys are gassed, but, you know, it seems to me the penalty kick is basically, it boils down to yelling, "Your mama!" and then you can dribble it in the other way. Yeah, it's a shame to lose a ball game like that if you happen to be on the wrong end of that.
Yeah, it is. It's a tough way to lose. So certainly, yeah, is there better ways? I mean, people have talked about going back to the shootout that they used to have many, many years ago when the men's professional league here started.
How about one-on-one or something?
Well, that's basically the shootout.
Oh,
it's they put the player at half field and they dribble and they, you know, they try and take the goalkeeper one-on-one. So they used to do that. And then sort of got away from that. I think there's a lot of injuries.
It's a variation on a theme.
Yeah,
no?
Yes, exactly. So, you know, but listen, I think the reality is that in some degree there always has to be a winner in these big events. So
yeah.
It's just,
well, what's your anxiety level as a coach when they start the penalty kicks and the first one misses?
You know, when you're in the hole early, that's tough.
Yeah. I mean, like, what? Over the goal? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Point blank range.
But that's why you always want to go first, put the pressure on the other team, you know. So, yeah, listen, I think my strategy was always try and put your better kickers at the beginning because you want to get ahead and put
sure.
the pressure on your opponent. But yeah, penalty kicks are just a part of the game. I mean, we prepared for in 19. It was we trained penalty kicks just because it is a component of the game. You
sure.
know, so you just can't suddenly feel you get to penalty kicks and you failed. You got to go to penalty kicks and go, hey, it's another opportunity to win. It's all how you approach it.
Great stuff. Jill Ellis, look forward
yes.
to your association with Destination Sport Miami, having you on a show many times in the future.
Perfect.
As we're happy to have them as our presenting sponsor now on the program. Thanks so much for stopping by and
All
being
right,
with us.
I appreciate it, guys. Take care.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Bye.
What kind of question is that?
What kind of a question is that?
How could you ask me a question like that?
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
It's time for today's mini trivia challenge, brought to you by the great people at Gulfstream Park. The spring summer meet is on. They're racing now Thursday through Sunday. Yes, racing today, and you can also place your wagers at firstbet.com. When the Mets' Pete Alonso hit a homer against the Marlins Tuesday night, he became the second fastest major leaguer to hit 100 career round-trippers. Today's mini challenge question is, who still holds the record for reaching 100 home runs in the least amount of games to begin a career? Is it Ken Griffey Jr., Mark McGwire, Ryan Howard, or Cody Bellinger? That answer in a moment. Be a part of the exciting thoroughbred racing at Gulfstream Park. Establish a first bet account today and get into the game. There's no greater thrill in sport than the pulsating pace and chase to the wire of the glorious racing and intense competition taking place on the track at Gulfstream Park. Hallandale Beach Boulevard and US 1. For the latest information on dates, events, and fan access, log on to GulfstreamPark.com. Ryan Howard of the Phillies is still the fastest major leaguer to accomplish that 100 home run feat, now followed by Alonso in second place. That's today's mini trivia challenge, brought to you by Gulfstream Park. The spring summer meet is on. They're racing Thursday through Sunday. You can place your wagers at firstbet.com for all the exciting action of Gulfstream's spring summer meet. Mark Henry, who is a Hall of Famer from the WWE, but also has many great distinctions. This gentleman holds world records that perhaps will never be broken. Mark, you really think those Russians were juicing in the Olympic Games? They had women that were bigger than you.
I just want to ask you this question. Is pig pork?
Answers.
I'm with you, Mark Henry. Yeah, I mean, we've had our suspicions going all the way back to when I first saw Tamara Press in the 50s.
Enjoy your trip to work with lots of laughs, thanks to Defoe and Luby. Now on the Defoe Show.
Smith Brothers was the cough drop there of choice in the 50s, Luby. You're going to suck on a cough drop, it would be a Smith Brothers cough drop. Came in cherry and licorice. The red and the black were both good, huh? You had to kind of make a decision there. But they had beards. They were known for the beards. The Smith Brothers were depicted on the cover of their cough drop box. And they had beards that weren't as thick as the one that was being sported by Tamara Press. See, that's the educational part of this whole thing, Louis. You always want to educate people, enlighten them. You think that we're here to change the world, which is a totally fraudulent and ridiculous ambition if you're going to do a sports talk show. We're not changing anything. Except maybe our own living conditions from what they would be if we didn't have a job. But this is great, being able to do this. But very educational aspect of the show is pig pork, Mark Henry. I think that was the deepest philosophical question that has been asked here on the program. All right, I do have to say this. The Gambling Gourmet, he was on it. I know you missed this one, Luby, due to circumstantial situations that we were in. Timing-wise, it just wasn't going to work out for you. It is not hard to find the pizza spot, Mike Mayo, the Gambling Gourmet. Not hard to find at all, if I could find it, on the first shot. I was just thinking, too, what if Magellan had a GPS device? Imagine what he could have discovered. Would have been great, right? Hey, Columbus, over here. The pizza spot, great. Absolutely fantastic yesterday. Had that pizza that Mike's always talking about, and I keep forgetting, it's got bacon on it and the hottest of peppers I've ever had on a pizza. Luby, big red ones.
Yeah, Mayo's a big fan of hot.
Oh, man, this guy likes the Schmitz. There's no
people
question.
People of the tribe aren't, like, big hot food fans.
I am. I like it. This was, pretty extreme. The hot peppers on the pizza spot pizza, but they have all kinds of stuff. The Mustang and a couple of the other guys that we were with, we all shared this other pizza with mushrooms and other vegetables on it. It was straight up vegetables all the way. Fantastic, man. No, really a good spot. So the pizza spot, congratulations to them on being everything that Mike Mayo said it was and more, except it is not hard to find. I made like one turn and I was there. It was great. And very excited. I got some food porn pictures from Marty the Party Sachs and his lovely wife Vicky last night, Chef Bola's Atlantic City. Thanks to Turnpike Tony and the boys from New Jersey for coming through on that reservation. At like 7:29, Marty's texting me saying, what was the secret word I was supposed to say? I said, Marty, it's scungeely, of course. Chef Volder's Atlantic City, outstanding spot, man. The food looked great. They're going to be eating for the next 3-4 days. AC, I don't know. Is anybody going to be Atlantic City bound anytime soon? I'm thinking no, right? New outbreak, COVID, I'm kind of staying home. No? What do you think, Luby?
Yeah, it definitely won't be an area going to be in a big, crowded rooms. That's why the track's great, because you're outside, it's spread out. Yeah.
By the way, racing today, and they get underway with their Thursday through Sunday schedule now at Gulfstream Park, so that's great. Tomorrow, we'll be at Gulfstream Park for a Deal Volkswagen Degenerate Friday. Looking forward to that. Jersey Kyle will be on the scene, and a host of others, including the Gambling Gourmet, Mike Mayo, who is right about the pizza spot. And then Saturday, we're at Hialeah Park, beautiful Hialeah Park, for the Hialeah Park Trivia Challenge. And we were spared by Gator Football from preemption, as their game, and this is a big one, huh? The big matchup against Florida Southern gets underway at 1 o'clock and we'll have it for you beginning at 10 on 940 Winds at 1230 The Zone. And, of course, on 940 Winds, that follows the Hylia Park Trivia Challenge. We'll be back with more in a moment. I'm Jeff DeForest. He is Mike Luby-Lubitz, Destination Sport Miami, presenting the ALT Defo Show, brought to you by Altitude International. We continue with the Greek coming your way at 3, Marlins baseball later on tonight, and we'll be back with more in a moment. Now that.
The time.
Big Al says we're not done in that spot, by the way. The run for 71 at 6:59.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.